morning, and the scripture has a lot to say, and who doesn't want an inheritance, right? I mean, when you stop to think about it, I used to hear and still hear from time to time where people say, one of these days, my ship's coming in. You hear that? I was thinking, well, maybe that's kind of past with my... No. We want that ship to dock, right? I remember back years ago reading about a lady named Kara Wood. And Kara Wood got national attention in 1992. She was 17 years old, working part-time at a restaurant in Chagrin Falls. What a name, huh? Chagrin Falls. And it was Dink Colonial Restaurant. And it was about 15 miles east of Cleveland. She was bright and friendly and helpful, the article had said. And one customer by the name of Bill Cruxton liked her so much that he came at lunchtime and dinner time to eat, but he would always sit in her section. And when she had time, she talked to him. Pretty soon, she'd go to his house and help him with some chores or maybe shop for him. And so he was a widower with no children, and so they became fast friends over a year expanse. And Kara became so important to Cruxton, this Bill Cruxton, that he rewrote his will and made her the main beneficiary. And so in November that year, Cruxton died at 82 of heart failure and left her $500,000 in jewels and a house and cash. And it made national news, and his sister sued, you know, to see if she could get some money. So the girl offered a offer to her that she probably couldn't refuse because she really didn't have grounds. And so the sister was able to get a certain amount. But Kara felt blessed. She invested her money and kept the house to this day and still rents it out. She said, I read a recent article, and it said that she still rents out the house. She doesn't really make much money at it. She just does that because she felt like that's who he was. She wanted to be the same way. She's now a financial advisor because she wanted to learn how to invest her inheritance. Now, what a nice dream to wake up to. To find out that somebody's written you as the main recipient of your will, of their will. And so, you know, we look at that. And these days, I think the hope and the windfall, like Kara's, comes in lottery tickets and suing someone. I even read somewhere that 98% of people hope that they can sue someone so they can have a retirement. 98%. No wonder we have so many problems in America that way. And I just look at that and I think, isn't that crazy? But, you know, for the vast majority, people say, one of these days my ship will come in. And I've heard people say that, and you have too. You know, but it never does dock. You ever notice that? As much as people hope for that, very seldom dock. So the closest I ever came to a reasonable inheritance is when my mom passed. My dad had passed years and years earlier, and when she passed, she had a house up north of Seattle on the water with a 180-degree view of Puget Sound, just beautiful, a really nice little house, and it was worth a lot. And so she was on a reverse mortgage, and so we thought, we talked to the people, the mortgages, and they said, if you want to try to sell it to get more money, you have 1 year, and then after that, we have to take possession. So we did, and we put it up for sale, and we got a buyer that was at the price we wanted. And he was having a hard time finding finance, and we kept on riding it out till about the 11th hour, you know, about a month before the year was up, and he had to back out of the deal. His wife divorced him, so he couldn't come through with the finances, and so we had to take a lower offer that was a break-even deal for the most part. And so we lost what we could have had as an inheritance that my mom wished that we would get. But the ship didn't dock for us there either. And one of the things that we learned out of that, I'm getting all messed up here. One of the things that we learned out of that is family is more important than money, right? How many times have you seen families fight and go at war? I remember one of the people in our church here, he had an uncle that passed, and so all of the remote family and everything converged on his house and completely stripped the house before the will could even be read, and created certain enemies. And I look at that and I think, oh man, in this world, an inheritance seems to always be trouble. Very seldom is it a good thing. In fact, they say that somebody that inherits money usually has to file bankruptcy sometime later, because just like the proverb says, easy money comes, easy goes, you know, and it's spent too easy. So what I want to do is transition from that to the subject of God says this. He, the Father, has given us. Are you part of us?
Yes.
Yeah. Us, an inheritance. We are qualified heirs in God's family by His choice, not our choice. But the frustrating thing is He never really gives us a lot of detail about it, and if He did, we may not even understand it at some point. Or maybe we would worship the inheritance rather than our Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem that we have right now is in terms of the passage we're going to read, is we have not come to maturity, to the age where we can inherit the inheritance. That's coming. And we'll be talking about that. But I want you to think about this as we read the passage. God has given us an inheritance, and it's God. So it's got to be good, right? Doesn't it have to be good? I mean, why would He go, well, we'll keep you penniless in heaven? Doesn't even sound like God. So let's read together. I'm going to read the underline, and you read the non-underline. Now I say that the heir,
as long as he is a child,
does not differ at all from a slave.
Though he is master of all.
But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. We're in bondage under the elements of the world.
But when the fullness of time had come,
God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law,
to redeem those who were under the law,
that we might receive the adoption as sons.
And because you are sons,
God has set forth the Spirit of His Son
into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son.
And if a son, then heir of God through Christ.
Yeah, important words. You know, lest we forget that we did not earn the inheritance, just as my parents did not owe us as kids their inheritance, nor can we claim that it was owed. We are an heir of God through Christ. And in Philippians, Paul says this, having been found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God by faith. And so we look at it and we realize we have done nothing to create an inheritance other than our faith, believing in God. And we trust Him, and He knows us, and He knows when the promised rapture comes, His return will transform our bodies into His likeness. He's going to make our body like Christ's body. But we in this life with sin are not mature enough, according to the passage, to be given the inheritance yet. We're still under the tutor, right? The Word of God, and so on and so forth. You know, and we're like anyone else in the world during this time, experiencing the same pain, the same futility, the same lessons in life. All people on the earth experience hard life. We're no exception. Do you remember when he said, and I'm going to add a little clarity in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the control of the elements or the basic principles or the nature of the world. We live like others. We do chores like others. We try to survive this life like others. We work and earn a living like others. We marry. We have children. We get fired. We get hired. We get colds. We get the flu. We even get terminal illnesses, just like the rest of the world. We are in bondage. We are in captivity under the elements of the world, Paul says. But in verse 4, he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. There is the peace of our inheritance. We are to receive the adoption as his children, and his difference from all others in the world. We are found in him because we put our faith and trust in him. And I just want to go over the adoption of sons again. I talked about this last week. I want to define it again because it's one word used over and over by Paul. And it means to formally and legally declare that someone who is not one's own child is henceforth to be treated and cared for as one's own child, including complete rights of inheritance. That's how he adopted us. That is describing the present and future you. Amen?
Amen.
That's who you are. The Father, through Christ, adopted us into his family, and he has given us the rights to that family. And now he's making known to us a few pieces of that inheritance. So we get to verse 2, back up to 2. It says, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. We are under Christ and his word, under teachers who prepare us or people who mentor us, or parents if we are younger, as we work and live until that specific day. So, to simplify, one of the biggest and greatest truths, we are heirs of God, inheritors of God. When we go to sleep, we can wake up realizing we are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's got it covered for us. And you know when you've read all these verses, by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace. Why does he use all that? Because it's his choice, not ours. He's put us into his family. We are sons of God. We are inheritors. And 7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir of God through Christ. So, I am a son of God. What is Jesus?
Son of God.
Son of God. Oh. Are you sons and daughters of God?
Yes.
I didn't hear you. You know, I got a hearing problem. Okay. Can you say it a little louder?
Yes.
We are sons and daughters of God. When it uses son, it just means sons, daughters, whatever, you know. So let's review that which we read. Let's just start out with verse 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Now, when he says that, aren't we just, we don't differ from the world. We don't have special privileges other than that we have God to lean on. Though he is a master of all, I love that. We're the master of all. We just haven't been able to fulfill that yet. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And we know that to be true. We have the Word of God inspired. We have the Holy Spirit given to us. 1 Corinthians 2 says, we have the mind of Christ. He's given us the mind of Christ so we can think like Christ. We have the adoption as a child. We have the acceptance by the Father because of what Christ did. We have forgiveness, past, present, and future. And he is coming to redeem, to buy back our bodies and give us a body like Christ. A spiritual body rather than the fleshy body. And yet we know, looking at Christ, that he had Thomas fill his hands and his sides. Do you remember that? So he's physical, but it's a spiritual body. And so we are going to be blessed with his body. Won't that be great? Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I don't have to go down to the exercise place anymore. You don't have to do that either. We don't have to pump iron. We don't have to do all the things to try to keep this whole body looking reasonable. It's just going to be great. And when the Father has a fortune, which we know he owns cattle on 1,000 hills, okay, at bare minimum, the child doesn't get the inheritance till they come of age. And we haven't come of age yet. And yet, at the same time, we have so much from God that as far as we're concerned, we already have an inheritance, don't we?
Yes.
Man, I tell you, when you get bummed out or things aren't going right in your life, who do you call on? Call on God. And somehow, some way, he ends up answering. But he never answers it the way we want it answered. You ever have you got that yet? Yeah. Okay, then we're getting mature, I think. Okay, yeah. Because I remember my prayers, I used to always pray, and I realized I'm praying and I'm telling God what he should do in my prayer, right? God, you need to change this for this person so that... And it's like God's probably thinking, isn't that cute? You know? And I bet you he's thinking, okay, well, I'll do it this way or this way. Let's see, I have a choice of A to Z on how I'm going to answer it, but I'm not going to do it the way Steve prayed it. And so it happens, and I think, okay, Lord, you woke me up. I got to quit telling you what to do and just ask. We yet have an inheritance, my friends. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, I love that phrase because he uses that phrase here. He uses it in Romans chapter 8. And Abba means daddy. Or, you know, when my kids come up, my grandkids come up, they'll wrap their arms around my leg and go, Hi, Papa. Hi, Papa. And pretty soon all the kids in the church are calling me Papa, right? Especially when I give them candy. And so that's the word here, Papa or Daddy or whatever it may be. And, you know, I thought about that, and it's the tender, loving dad that he's talking about there. And I know that many of you did not have that tender, loving dad, including me. And so sometimes when we're raised by a father that's absent, a father that's angry or whatever, we have to change that image in our head, don't we? We have to relook at that image and say, wait a minute, this is what God should look like. And the problem is when we don't change it, we think God's a hater or God's an abandoner or God's mad or whatever it may be when he's not. He's not mad. Blessed be the God and Father. Happy is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made us happy in every spiritual blessing. He's not mad. He's seen enough that he's okay. And so he says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Does this subject of inheritance come up anywhere in the Scripture? So we're going to do a Scripture crawl. Okay? I'm just going to go through one Scripture after another so you can look at it, because you could say, well, it's only there, so it may not be true. Well, that's not going to work. Okay. So let's just start out with verse 12 of John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Equal heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with Christ. Ephesians 3, 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Titus 3, 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 1:14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until a redemption of the purchased possession, which is our body, to the praise of his glory. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 3. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So I want to pack this down into a few words. We have been adopted, right? Yep. Adopted as sons. We have an inheritance. We have become an heir, not by us, but by God. We are led by the Spirit. The Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. We are heirs with all his children. Through justifying us, we became heirs of the hope of eternal life. The Father qualified us to be heirs. We are given the Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. The Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Serve God because you will receive the inheritance. Our inheritance is something to look forward to. So I think our focus, we could say, is this, that Paul gives us a glimmer of that inheritance. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs, with contractions together until now. Is that the way you feel? A lot of times we don't think so. For we know that the whole creation, it isn't the people. It's the whole creation groans and labors with contractions together until now. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits, or it means from the beginning of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption as sons, this is the same word, the redemption, the release, or the set free of our physical body. So we groan here is what Paul's saying. We groan and we continue to groan because this earth, this society, this whatever, our life in this body doesn't work quite right. Just ask your knees and your back and those kind of things, right? It just doesn't work. And so he says we groan. And when we... And, okay, there we go. Okay, so why did I just groan? My back's not hurting. Right? It's because we groan waiting for that new body, the first piece of our inheritance. We want that body, and we're trying to get that body. And so we go to Disney, we go to sugar, we go to chocolate, we go to whatever it takes to make this old body feel like the new body, and it can't. And it won't. Right? So then we have to lose weight. We go through these cycles over and over because we have that groan. And you know, I have come to the place years ago where I realized if I'm not groaning, then I'm covering it up with something. Isn't that true? Because he's saying we groan. We're in labor for that new body. And if we're not groaning, we're covering it up with stuff and we're lying to ourselves and we're trying to fool ourselves into the fact that this life is really all that great. He says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits, the beginning of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the sons, the redemption of our what? Our body. That's the first tick off of the inheritance, is our body gets changed. And let me just read this scripture from this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, man, I can't wait for that day. So what's our vision here? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, because all they bring is bad consequences, right? That we should live soberly or wisely, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope. That's our hope, isn't it? The blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, Titus. And since we're going to receive an inheritance, that's our coming reality. That's the goal. That's where our sight needs to be. And you know, every time I think about this, I don't know why. Maybe because in my early years, I was really in the blues, and we played the blues a lot. But when I think about the rapture, when I think about our bodies changing, I think about, I hear the train of coming, is coming around the bend, right? The old Folsom Prison blues. And I think, man, that train's coming. It's coming, folks. It's a promise from God who cannot lie. And he's going to come. Jesus Christ is going to come in the air and he's going to snatch us up so that we can be with him forever. And Thessalonians says, comfort yourself with these words. And boy, that is a comfort, isn't it? So when you're limping around and things are hurt and that kind of thing, remember, the game's not over. And how many times have you said, boy, I sure like to trade my body in for a new one, right? Well, you are, right? You are going to trade it in for a new one. Yeah. Woo! And I love this when he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We were down in Denver Friday, Debbie and I, and we gotten into this habit of driving down to Central Park, which is the old airport, Stapleton. And we parked there for free, and I'm old, so I get on the light rail for $1. And she gets on it for $3. Too bad. And we drive, and it takes us down to Union Station, and we walked around, and we went to the Monet exhibit, and we came back down. We ate at a restaurant, and we came back, and we got into Union Station, and we're waiting for that train, right? And it's not a-coming. It's not coming around the bend. And so we're looking up, we're looking at the schedule, and everybody's in the Union Station sitting waiting for this train to come because it's on track one, so you can see it real well, and it's going to go all the way to the airport, but it's going to drop off. And so while we're sitting there waiting, we keep looking, and you know, and another one pulled up, but it was on track three, and we thought it was track one, and we went outside and realized it was track three, and we went back and sat back down, and finally, we see the train pull in. And everybody in the Union stood up and went on that train. And I thought, boy, isn't this a picture of the rapture? The train's a-coming, and it's coming around the bend. Are you ready for it? And Johnny Cash goes on and says, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. And I look at that and I think, that's kind of true of us, isn't it? We're in the cloudy time waiting for the sun to shine, the S-O-N. Are you ready? Are you ready for that new body? Well, we just have to trudge along because we have to wait for the maturity, but it's coming. And when he does, we're going to be replaced with a new body. And live with God forever in his inheritance, and I'm ready. Are you? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your son. Gosh. We thank you that, you know, we look at all the religions around the world, and they're all torturous and works-oriented and that kind of thing. And the Bible comes along, and you tell us that we are your sons and daughters by grace. By your choice, and we become inheritors with you. And one day we're going to live in the kingdom with Jesus Christ as King. And we're going to live in a place where we have a leader who knows how to lead. And not what we're used to in this world. And we're going to have new bodies. And Lord, we don't even know what all that means. We have to experience it. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've given us that piece of the inheritance to look at, because that's enough for us for right now. And so we look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, heads about.